Lord, they've come. They've come on a weeknight in America. It's unheard of, Lord. There's 1,000 things they could be doing tonight. They've only come for one reason. They want more of you, Father. Father, they love you. If they only hear me speak, I know they're not going to be helped, Father. But if they hear the voice of their good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, if they hear the voice of Him who loves them, they will be helped. For that reason, Father, again, I ask you to make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I might speak forth the oracles of God with simplicity and clarity, that we can all understand the mind of Christ. And Father, I ask you to anoint their ears with ear salve, that they can hear what the Spirit is saying, not only to the church, but to each of them individually. And Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I yield the service, Lord, to Him. Anything you want to do by your Spirit, Father, you just nudge me, I'll step out of the way. I thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I really had a hard time today, I'll be honest with you, wrestling and sort of in my mind trying to decide. We've only got tonight, tomorrow night. And I think y'all understand what's going on. God doesn't want just another powerless church. I mean, we were warned about these days from the first writers of the gospel. He said, in these last days, you know, there'd be a lot of churches having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now, that's not going to be this church.
Amen.
That's not going to be this church. We're going to have power. Because that's the only kind of gospel Jesus ever intended. Amen? You got that? Now, so what he's had me do is, best I understand my assignment, number one, the first night we talked about the vision, what he wanted. The next night we talked about the trap. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And then we've talked off and on about the tools, various tools. One night we talked about, or one of the services, we discussed praying in other tongues. That is a supernatural weapon that you have. Last night we talked about confessing God's word, or how did you say that, Marvin? Speaking the truth, or feeding your spirit, any way you want to put it. When a believer speaks the word of God, he is making supernatural contact with God the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost performs the spoken word of God. On my tapes, you'll hear me often say, God works in the earth one way and not two. He works with words. He does. He wouldn't even make light for the Father until the words were spoken. Light be. Got that? Kind of refreshing your memory. Now, there's so many things we could talk about because God's given us other weapons. One of them is fasting, which Marv is going through right now. But I figure he's going to be real primed to teach about it once he comes off. So. We may or may not touch on it tomorrow night. We have a lot of weapons. We really do have a lot of weapons. But the one that the Lord wants us to talk about, He finally got it across to me today. Now see, this one's a little different on how to put it. Remember when we talked about milk? Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And we talked about milk, didn't we? I said, now, one thing about milk, it doesn't make any difference whether it's from a cow, whether it's from a cat, whether it's, you know, what animal milk comes, a human. Milk is always food that has been eaten and pre-digested by another. And when you start out, you need milk, just like babies need milk. It's not even healthy to try and force ground beef down a weak-old baby's mouth. You'll harm the baby. Isn't that right? They can't handle it, and even if they could get it into their stomach, their digestive system is not developed yet to handle it. So it's important who you choose to sit under. Because my job, or Marvin's job, any of the fivefold, our job is to go off and eat meat, digest it, roll it over, let the Holy Ghost just explain it inside, outside, upside down, live it, find out some of the pitfalls. Then once we've got it in milk form, then y'all get to come in. What it may have taken me 2 years to break, something I prayed about for 2 years, I'll deliver to you in 30 minutes. Marvin does the same thing, and that's what teachers do. All right? But now the day's supposed to come when you need to learn how to eat. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now go ahead and turn to 3 John, verse 2. Hallelujah. We'll just do our jumping off place from right there. 3 John. Close to the back. Right before Revelation, just a little bit. Page 291. Oh, well, in my Bible. That's an old joke, but I still like it. Hallelujah. If you happen to notice this little green light go red, let me know, okay? I think you'll be fine. Hallelujah. 3 John, we'll just start in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love, notice, in the truth. Notice the word truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, but now notice, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of thee, notice, truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Do you see how many times the word truth appears in just 3 verses? Now here's why. If you're ever going to be in health and prosper, your soul is going to have to know truth. Because it's only the truth that sets you free. Now think about this. I will start easy. I'm sneaking up on your blind side. You don't know it, but I am. I'll start easy on you. Isn't it pretty easy for you to say that all those people that are putting their trust in Islam, they're being deceived? Isn't that false religion? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Isn't that right? That tells me that Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we may be saved. Isn't that right? So Islam is not truth. Buddhism is not truth. All right? We could go Confucianism. Is not truth. New Age is not truth. Unless Jesus is right at the center of it as the spotless Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world to be your Savior, it is not truth. Now, we don't have any trouble with that, do we? Now, you ready for this? All powerless churches are also deceived. And I'm gonna sneak up on you worse than that. Every person in this room hearing my voice, to some degree, is deceived.
That's right.
Well, how can you say that? Joey didn't get out of the chair.
That's right.
It's real easy. You know for sure if the Lord Jesus Christ walked through the wall during that service with either one of them when Joey was here. You think he'd operate in truth? I think he'd walk right over there and get Joey out of that chair, and we'd be hearing bones snap, crackle, and pop as he untwisted and straightened up, and his mind came back to him.
Yes.
Completely. I'm not saying it's not, but I mean completely, in his speech and everything else. And we'd watch it, because Jesus operates in truth. Well, this same writer, John, in 1 John, he says, you know, believers, we ought to walk as he walked. And that's why he's saying here, I have no greater joy but to hear that my children, my disciples, they're walking in truth. And that's what we want, isn't it? Alright? Just for a second, witness. Let's go over to John 17. Now, John 17, to me, is one of the most unique chapters in the Bible. to me, if you took the whole Bible, John chapter 17 is the very holy of holies. And let me tell you why I say that. In John, you know, this is what we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Think about what you're reading here. You are reading as God the Son prays to God the Father. If there was ever a prayer to be answered, it's this one. Wouldn't you say? God the Son praying for us, making intercession to God the Father.
Amen.
This is one of my, I guess it probably is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. But there are some astounding things in here. Now, we've been talking about the fact that we're really not of this world. Have you all got that straight in you? Are you an invader from another world?
Yes.
So we're not supposed to be like the world, are we? We're really not. Now watch this. Well, this is so wonderful. We could do a whole seminar just on John 17, okay? But for tonight, he says, let's pick it up in verse 15, John 17, 15. Now, Jesus is praying for us. And by the way, in here at one point, he says, I'm not just praying for these that's hearing me right now. I'm praying for all that shall believe on me through their word. Now, one way or another, however you got saved, somebody used the Bible. They used verses, didn't they? And those verses were written by the very men that were hearing this prayer. You got that? So this, your name might as well be written in here. If you're a believer, he is praying for you as much as he was praying for those guys that day. Got that? Now watch this. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. How many of y'all would like to be kept from evil?
Amen.
All right, let's keep reading. That's what Jesus is, God the Son, praying to God the Father. He wants you kept from evil.
Thank you, Father.
Watch this.
Yes.
They are not of the world. I told you. You're from another world.
Hallelujah.
Your citizenship is in heaven. You're an invading force from heaven come to take over the earth in Jesus' name.
Glory.
But we're doing it with love and not armies. We're doing it with gifts of the Spirit and not bullets. We're doing it with healing instead of war.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we need to be equipped. He never intended for us not to have those things. Now watch this. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, in that, with that thinking, watch what he says now. Since we're not of the world, he says, Father, since they're not of the world, sanctify them, and that means separate, separate them through thy truth. Now what did John say? Oh, I have no greater joy but that my children not know the truth, but walk in truth. You got that? Now get that. The more you walk in the real truth, the more of an alien you're going to become.
Yes.
In your walk. Now positionally, you got a birth certificate in heaven. He says, Jesus said, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
But see, sometimes our walk, you know, somebody has to say, I mean, God forbid, I know it wouldn't be anybody in here. God forbid. But they'd have to say, it's a good thing you told me you was a Christian. I sure couldn't tell by watching you. But the more truth you know, Jesus said, it's the truth that makes you free. And the more truth, it's not just the truth you know, it's the truth you walk in.
That's right.
See? So he's going, okay, sanctify them, Father. Make a difference. Let the world see that they're alien creatures from another world. Sanctify them. Separate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And your mind, you better hang on. Hold your ear so your brain doesn't leak out. Ready? Look what he says. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now wait a minute, wait a minute. My denominational mind's about to go on tilt. Because he says, I'm sending them on the same mission you sent me on. Now, he's not sending you to die for the sins of the world. You got that?
Yeah.
You're not qualified.
Yeah.
There's only one spotless lamb, and him is it.
Amen.
Him is it, and that is that. How did you say that earlier? What he is saying, now with that banner, we got a new Lord. There's a new Lord. Adam is not Lord anymore. The devil's not Lord. Jesus is Lord. And in that banner now, we're supposed to come in His name, and we're supposed to destroy the works of the devil everywhere we find it. Make any difference whether we need to cast out devils, heal the sick, anywhere we find it, find the devil trying to steal a man's kidneys? I don't care what it is. Jesus says, I'm sending them just like you sent me, on the same mission. Just like I went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, I expect these, Father, to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. That just makes your old denominational brain go, what? What? Red letters in your Bible too?
Amen.
You think this prayer, if there was ever a prayer anywhere to be answered, I would think it'd be this one.
That's right.
God the Son praying to God the Father. Now, so that my goal is this. Listen, I thank God for my pastor. Dave Roberson is my pastor. I trust him. I listen, and boy, do I listen. And I mean, sometimes he'll say stuff that's so far over my head, I'll get that tape. I may have to listen to that thing 10 and 15 times and pray in tongues the whole time till I even get it, you know? But I thank God. And what's he doing? He's giving me milk. He's given me stuff that he has digested, he has read, he's fed on, and he's prayed, and he's got it and digested it, and I go in and sit down. Every now and then he'll say, it took me 7 years to break this verse, and I'm going to give it to you in 5 minutes. And he almost seems put out with God about it, you know. I'm going to give it to you in 5 minutes, you know. Glory to God. But now, the thing I also appreciate about, and the reason I said that, thank God. See, we've talked enough, not on in person, but by email. I knew Marvin wasn't a flake. You see? Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't have come, but I would have come on a different mission. But I know Marvin well enough. I know him well enough. You're going to get good milk. But the day comes, you need to learn how to eat for yourself. And you'll be a great help to your pastor as you learn to eat for yourself. Okay, so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to really talk about how to meditate the Word. Now, my pastor has the best set of tapes I have ever heard anywhere, anytime, bar none on this, and it's called Imagery, Delivery, and Meditation, I think is the name of it. It's either 9 or 12 tapes, I can't remember. And that's $35, and that's a while back, it may be 40 by now. If you really want to learn this. Now, I cannot deliver 9 to 12 hours. Somebody better lock the doors. But I can give you enough to get you started. But if you really want to learn in detail how to meditate the Word of God, I suggest you get that set of tapes. I don't think you'll find anything like them on planet Earth. I really don't. I had been saved a long time before I ever heard those tapes, and I had 9 books in my library. One way or another, they all said how to meditate the Word of God. And once I finally, and I went through that set of tapes of Dave so many times, imagery, meditation, imagery, and delivery, something like that. I went through that so many times. Once I finally got it, I threw all 9 of those books away. I mean, they were written by well-intended men, and it's not that everything in it was poison or anything like that. They just flat weren't right. None of them taught me how to meditate the Word of God. And I'm going to give it to you in the next 30 minutes. Hallelujah. At least the basics, enough to get you going. Okay? Now, the idea is to get truth. And again, I started all the way from Confucianism to Buddhism to Islam, because that's real easy. Oh, yeah, we know they're deceived. And then I moved up a little bit to the church in America that has a form of godliness and no power. And y'all said, well, yeah, they're deceived too. And then I brought up Joey, didn't I? And so we are too. Yours truly included. So all of us are on a quest to walk in more truth. Amen?
Amen.
So there's no, we're just learning together here. We're going down this path. You with me? Now be turning to Luke chapter 6. Now, there's two things going to happen here. I'm going to use this example mainly to teach you how to meditate the Word of God. But you wouldn't be upset with me if we did something that helped your finances at the same time. Okay? So you're going to get a double blessing. Number one, you're going to get delivered from a doctrine that probably 99% of the tongue-talking, spirit-filled, charismatic church believes that is just flat wrong. And it's being preached every Sunday and on TV. It's probably going on right now on some channel here in Guthrie. What in the world is he talking about? Luke 6:38. Most of you could quote it without even looking at your Bible, because you've said in that many offerings. All right? Now, let me just read it first. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Now, just be honest with me. I mean, no condemnation. How many of you have heard that verse quoted at an offering time? Okay. Now, is it in your Bible?
Yep.
Well, for sure it's in there. Does it say those words?
Yes.
Sure it's in there. Have you heard a lot of preaching on it? Sure. You know, you can go to, you can go buy whole books. And there's whole sections in Mardell's, you know. All right. Now, and the way most people, God's, this is red words. Jesus said these words, so there's truth here for sure. Isn't that right? Now, if you make notes, or later on when you get the tapes, and by the way, every person that writes me that has a Guthrie address will get a complete set of these tapes. Okay? You don't even have to ask for something else off of there, because you're going to get one of these if I see a Guthrie address. Now, if you don't have a Guthrie address, you better ask, because I won't recognize it. Okay, I saw her over there going, I better put that down. All right, now, the way this is normally interpreted is this. Well, it's offering time at the church. If you give, it says it right here. This is at offering time, we'll pass the plate. You should give, and if you do, well, it's going to be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? How many of y'all been givers for more than a year? How many of y'all is that happening to? I didn't see any hands go up. I did it. See, I told you, I don't have no quitting sense. I did it for years. And because I didn't know how to eat for myself. Now, here's the problem, see. Here's the problem. Well, I started to tell you where to go now. You ought to write this down. Or get it off the table. Rule number one on how to meditate God's Word. Never, ever take a verse and lift it out of its context. Never, ever, for any reason, do that. And don't sit under preachers who do. It can cost you your life. Again, I use this example. It is ridiculous. But I use it for that reason. I want to shock your brain. You can start linking up verses from the Bible out of their context and make the Bible say anything. All right, for this ridiculous example, Judas went out and hung himself. That is a verse. Here's another one. Go thou and do likewise. And everybody goes, oh, that's silly. Nobody would do that. Did you ever hear of a Reverend Jim Jones and a group of people in Guyana? How do you think they wound up there? Do you think that was God's will, that they go down there and drink cyanide-laced Kool-Aid?
No,
it wasn't God's will. Do you think they believed it was? See, they were just as deceived as those Japanese pilots in World War II that would come in and commit Harry Carey by just flying their plane with a bomb right into one of our ships, because their religionists had told them that if they die in war like that, they would have a better place in heaven. Weren't they surprised when they woke up in hell?
That's right.
Yeah. Surely they did. Yeah, they woke up in hell. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
You guys might as well know the human race is a lost species. Jesus says, I've not come to condemn the world is condemned already. I've come to save it.
Hallelujah.
That's why we work so hard, and that's why God's raising up this church in Guthrie, because people are living and dying and living normal lives in this town, and many of them think they're okay, and they're not okay. And they're going to wake up in hell. They're going to wake up in hell. We're going to rescue as many of them as we can. That's the mission that Jesus came on, and we've been sent to do the same thing. Isn't that right, Billy? Isn't that right, Maurice? Amen. Can I get an amen, Nick? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's go back to this verse now. Now, see, the way this is normally preached, and again, I want to really define what I'm talking about. Most people, they've been so programmed, when they read this verse, they automatically think about a church offer. Well, give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, you'll be measured to you again. And I could take any doggy trail I wanted from there. Now, see, right there, with the measure that you put in that bucket. I mean, how many of you have heard things like this? Yeah. If you measure with a teaspoon, God measures back to you with a teaspoon. And if you measure with a shovel, God, He measures back to you with a shovel. And if you measure with a dump truck load, He starts backing up dump trucks to your house and measures it back to you. How many of y'all heard stuff like that? Oh, so don't be worried about your bills and the fact that you signed your name on the dotted line and gave your word to that landlord you would pay him on the first of the month. Don't worry about that. You just put your money right into my offering and God will give it back to you. You never heard a bigger lie. You will not find that doctrine in the New Testament. That is not even what this is talking about. Can you prove that? Easy. We don't even have to leave this chapter. Now, I gave you rule number one. Never, ever take a verse out of its context. Rule number two. You ask the Holy Spirit. He is your teacher. You ask Him. Say, Holy Spirit, help me find the beginning of this subject. What are you talking about here? Help me find the beginning and help me find the ending of it. Where I can understand what the mind of Christ is here. Have y'all got that? You need to understand the subject matter. This is in no wise talking about a church offering. You're going to see that so plain here in a minute. Before I'm done with you, you're going to wish it was. And you're going to know exactly why it has not been working. And you're not going to like it. But we have to walk in the truth. What do you want to do? Stay deceived the next 20 years and it not work for you then either? It'll work for the preacher taking it from you. Guarantee you he'll prosper. Till his grace runs out. God's got a lot of grace. It'll go a long time either way. Now, rule number one, never take it out of its setting. Rule number two, ask the Holy Spirit. You start backing up. Lord, where does this start? Where's the beginning of this subject? Where does it end? Do you notice it's read both directions from that verse? This is taken right out of the middle of a sermon, isn't it? Jesus has been talking before, He's talking after. And they just lift this right out of the middle without telling you what's going on. Now, let's just back up a little ways. Let's see if this is talking about a church offering or not. Okay, fair enough. Right, now watch. Let's start in verse 27. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Jesus? Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you? What is going on here? This doesn't sound like a church offering. What in the world? And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give
Now notice that. Give. What was the subject? We were in verse 30. What's the first word? Give. Verse 38. What's the first word? Do you think he's changed the subject?
No.
All right, now watch this. Verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would have, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. Now get this. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God's sure different than the way religion paints him. Read that again. Yeah, that's hard for your religious mind to even take in. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not. Judge not who? The unthankful and the evil. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not. Condemn not who? The unthankful and the evil, the guys that are slapping you on the cheek and taking away your stuff by force. It says, condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive. Forgive who? The unthankful and the evil, the ones slapping you on the cheek, the ones taking away your goods by force. And if you're willing to do that, then when they ask for your stuff, just give it to them. Give. And then it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Right about now you're going, oh, Brother Gary, please just let me put my offering in the bucket instead. Pray for my enemies, do good to them that hate me. Let them smite me on the cheek and turn the other, and don't judge the evil. And please let me just put an offering in the bucket. And won't God give it back to me, pressed down and shaken together and all this good stuff, and I can still live in strife and unforgiveness and hate my neighbor, Brother Gary? No, you can't! And that's why it hasn't been working! Do you see anything there about a church offering?
No.
Absolutely not. People living in strife and all kinds of... marital strife between husband and wife. Maybe they're getting along okay and they got a feud going with their neighbors. All kinds of hatred and unforgiveness and strife, and come to church, and because some preacher just lifts this one verse out of context and says, all you got to do to have the blessings of God is just give into this little bucket as it comes by, and God will pour you out a blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And they don't say it, but the implication is, doesn't matter you're living in strife and hatred and unforgiveness towards your neighbor. And this one verse right here, it just will just prosper you because you gave. And it has never worked that way. It does not work that way now. It will never work that way. Did you learn anything?
Amen.
That's learning how to eat. See, I tell Pastor Dick, there's no one on earth, hardly really, that I don't guess there is anyone on earth that I have more respect for than my pastor, Dave Roberson. I tell him this all the time, to his face. Plus, he hears it off my tongue. Once in a while, he doesn't listen to me. But I say this. I appreciate you, Pastor. I do trust you. But you got to understand, just because I hear you say it, doesn't mean I believe it. I've been burned by so many well-meaning preachers, much less the crooked ones. It's not scripture till I find it. And what I mean by that is not just find the verse. I mean do what I'm telling you. Let me back up from here a ways. Let me get your tape, Pastor. Let me put it in here. Okay, you quoted this verse. Stop. Let me get my Bible out. Okay, what is Isaiah, for example? What is he talking about here? What's the Spirit of God? What's the subject matter? Can you see the subject matter here has got nothing to do with the church on the...
Amen.
Now, let me clarify it just a little bit. Let me clarify, because how many of you would like for your prosperity to be such that God would give to you? He would cause men to give into your bosom. Let's talk about how it really works. Okay? And how it works is just like Jesus said, but let me just modernize the language a little bit. See, these kind of things will never make sense to you till you start becoming eternity-minded in everything you do.
Amen.
The kingdom of God, if you haven't got this part yet, is about people. This whole thing from start to end is God trying to rescue as many souls as He possibly can. The time is someday going to run out. God is long-suffering, not desiring, not willing that any should perish. We're trying to rescue as many souls. Now get this. These guys that are being evil to you, smiting you on the cheek, they come and sue you to take away your car. Maybe they have no real justification for it. When I used to have a business of my own, I did a swimming pool that for a guy. He loved it. We did a good job. We were really good at what we did. We did a beautiful swimming pool deck. And when it come time to be paid, he says, I'm not going to pay. I said, are you not happy with it? It just shocked me. My dad taught me, your word is your bond. If your word's no good, you're no good. And I said, are you not happy with it? And he said, oh, no, it's beautiful. It's the best pool deck I've ever seen. I love this pool deck. Do you think the price is wrong? No, I think your price is quite reasonable. I don't understand why. What do you mean you're not going to pay for it? He said, I'm not going to pay for it because I don't have to. And he was a lawyer. And he was right. That pool deck was worth about $5,000. And he knew all the tricks of the trade, and he could have kept that tied up for like 15 years. Cost me $20,000 to get $5,000. He knew if I had any sense at all as a businessman, the best thing I could do is just walk away. Exactly what I did. Now, what do you do about it? See now, in your heart right about there, the last thing you want is to get on your knees and start making intercession. Oh God. Now what did he say here? Let's back up and see what Jesus said about a situation like that. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And he would have fallen into this next one. Pray for them which despitefully use you. That's exactly what he did. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now, I said it one night before, I'll say it again. Pastor Dave says this all the time. He said, it's not the people that you get along with that God is using to perfect you. He said a little later on down here, he says, hey, sinners, they love each other. They love their friends. What? There's no big deal in that. God loves his enemies. See, my Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Billy and I sure qualified, didn't we, Billy? We qualified. Thank God he died for the ungodly. He loved me when I was a sinner and his enemy. Now see, when I say this is about people, these people that are doing this stuff to you, those are the ones God's trying to save. In a little while, see, really, it's still in context. Can I jump ahead just a little bit? Just come on down again to verse 39. We'd mentioned this the other night, but really, he's still teaching on the same subject. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now stop for a minute. What he's saying there is going, listen, I'm trying to reach that ugly, spiteful, hateful sinner. I'm trying to get him saved. If you are so blind to what this gospel is all about that you react like the world, you're as blind as he is. You're both going to fall in the ditch. He's the only... You're the only Jesus he's ever going to see in the flesh. And how you treat him should be how the Father would treat him.
Amen.
Now back up. Well, how does the... Well, yes, Father, that's what I meant. Vengeance is yours, saith the Lord. Get him, God. You know, lightning, boom, get him. Yeah, but wait a minute. What did Jesus say at the last part of verse 35 here? Love, what, verse 35, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and he is kind to the evil.
Amen.
One place in where this is being taught in one of the other Gospels, it says, be ye merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful. Let's go back to the swimming pool deal and the $5,000. Now see, when you're in that kind of situation, before your mind starts thinking in eternity, now here this guy, it seems to you like you're the victim. You know, it felt to me like I was the victim. I felt like asking him to have mercy on me. Because he's the one that's keeping the $5,000. But Jesus turns that right around. He says, no, you're the one in charge. I am? Oh yeah, you're the one in charge. Be like God now. And show mercy. Show mercy to him. And I'm going, he's got the pool and the money. I don't have nothing. Seems to me like he ought to have mercy on me. And the reason we feel like that, we're still deceived. We don't really believe that we're citizens from another world. God's already got me. You know, he's already got me. I'm on my way to heaven. So God's going, no, you're the one in charge. But he's got the money. And right about then, God would say to me, the gold and the silver is mine. Now what I'm telling you here in Luke 6:38 is this, boy. If you're willing to be like me and show mercy to this guy, if your witness for Jesus Christ is strong enough that you'll forgive him like I forgave you and tell him why you're doing it and just have mercy on him. If your testimony is that valuable to you, if that's what your life is about, showing mercy in the name of Jesus to sinners, if your testimony is worth that to you, here's my promise. Now, that guy may walk away with the pool deck and the $5,000, but if you're willing to live like that, if your testimony is that valuable to you, then here's my promise. You give like that, and I'll see to it that it'll be given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over. I'll cause men to give it to your bosom. You'll never lack for a thing. It'll never cost you a dime to stand up for your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Isn't that good stuff?
Yes.
Now, you guys can get that kind of stuff yourselves. And astound people with your wisdom. And it's fun, and you help them. And sometimes they take up an offering. Doesn't matter to you whether they do or not. God takes care of you. You know?
Amen.
But you get to have a lot of fun. That's what I get to do. I go, once I learned how to do this. Okay. You know? You back up. You find the subject matter. Now, here's another thing. Okay, I've given you, three so far, right? Two? I've given you two. Okay? Never lift a verse out of its setting. Okay, number two, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the beginning and the ending of the subject. Is that all I've given you so far? All right, third. Read, once you find that, read the whole subject matter
You're not going to like this part. 30 to 50 times. What? 30 to 50 times. Now let me tell you why. Let me tell you why what's going on there. You're going to find that God talks in pictures. It's very much, in fact, it's the original language that God created, Hebrew, is really a language of pictures. Every word has a picture associated with it, and every sentence that is a combination of words forms a picture. And you're going to find that His truth is very much like that. You'll take a difficult subject, maybe it's a chapter and a half. Okay? Every sentence, every statement, God is painting a complete image of the truth. And every statement is like a stroke of the brush. It's like another stroke of the brush. He says another thing. It's another stroke of the brush. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched artists paint, but they don't start at one corner like an engineer does and work progressively from the left like a line coming across the drawing until they're finished at the bottom right corner, do they? No, no. If it's a tree or a park scene with birds, I mean, they got their paint, and they're getting, you know, there's splotches of color going here and there and everywhere. The Word of God is very much like that. And every verse is like that. But every verse is important. I give this example every now and then. Now, if you don't learn, okay, let me finish that. It also works very much like a jigsaw puzzle. You ever get one of those 300-piece jigsaw puzzles? Oh, my God. Now, let's say you got one, somebody gave you one, and the cover was missing off the box. And you had no earthly idea what this is. There's 300 little bitty pieces all jagged here, and you don't know whether it's a house, a cow, a tiger. You have no idea what this is a picture of. Now, that'd be tough, wouldn't it? But you're determined. See, that's very much like these difficult verses in the Word of God. You know it means something, bless God. Yeah. You know it means something. Jesus wouldn't have wasted my time with this. It means something. Right? I want to know what it means. Well, so you're praying, see? Now, but you can greatly assist the Holy Spirit if you will feed that difficult section. And I mean, don't just pick the one verse. Put the whole picture in you. It takes about 30 to 50 times. Just feed it in there. Get it all in there. So you've got all the strokes, the whole thing. You've got all the pieces in there. Then when you're praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit, He starts placing the pieces for you. He starts placing the pieces. And that you may, I understand a little bit what that verse means. Now that kind of ties in with this over here. And you're praying in other tongues. Maybe you're reading it the 27th time. And by the way, you ought to get just practice. It gets to be like second nature, reading your Bible and praying very softly in other tongues. At first, it was kind of difficult for me. But just a little practice, it gets to be like second nature. I do it without even thinking now. But anyway, the pieces. And finally, one day, this is Revelation Day. You may not even understand the whole puzzle, but at least you finally see enough of the pieces going, He ain't talking about a church offering here. No, it don't look like a church offering. He's trying to get that guy saved.
Amen.
At least you found out what the picture's about. And the next time some preacher's up there telling you you're going to get rich by putting into his offering, you can sit there and keep your wallet in your blessed little pocket and go, liar, liar, pants on fire. And the rest of you too if you don't repent. You sheep fleecer.
Hallelujah.
Now, there is, you get blessed for giving.
Amen.
See, now, but that's not what he's talking about here. We want to know the truth.
Right.
If we want to find out how to get blessed for giving, then we'll talk about something where he talks about that. But he's not talking about that here.
Yeah.
Not in the church offering.
Uh-huh.
Now he's talking, let me get it real plain. All right, there's some evil guy, one of these unthankful, evil guys, boozing next door to you, God forbid. And for some reason, maybe you pull in your driveway one day and you just, without meaning to, you accidentally put the tiniest little scratch on his Mercedes. And he sees it. And he comes out, he's a rich cat. And you're one of them blue-collar guys. And he says, I want you to know I saw you damage my car. And I have lawyers who have lawyers who have lawyers. And I'm going to sue you for your car. You scratch mine, I'm going to get your whole car. Just because I can. And there's guys like that out there. Okay? Now, if you're going to stand up for... Okay, first off, how do you react in the world? Well, I'll beat you up. You're not either. Well, I'll take you to court. I'll fight you. I'll whatever, you know. You see, in the world, you'd react, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Why? Because the important thing to you is your car.
Right. Yeah.
You ain't taking my car, buddy. Not with it. Not till the fight's over. Not till the fat lady sings. You hear me? You're not taking my car. I'm going to fight. I'm going to resist you. Well, that's normal, fallen nature reaction. What's mine is mine. Bless God, what yours is mine. No, yeah. Yeah, that's what my daughter says all the time. What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. Anyway. Can you see that? She doesn't say it anymore, thank God. If she does, she's teasing, sort of. Now, well, but without thinking eternity in mind, what's important is your car. See? Now, but what Jesus is saying, recognize right off, this guy needs saving. He's the one in trouble here. It's not God's nature causing him to act like that. And what God wants, I'm the one in charge. I'm the one with the unlimited resources of heaven. God's my provider. He sent that car. God is not God, a shortage of cars.
That's right.
You know? Now, what we're interested in, Father, since you've renewed my mind enough by your Spirit that I only think with eternity in mind, the thing that's important is this guy. So now your reaction would be more in line with Jesus. And you go, I apologize for scratching your car. I didn't mean to do it. But listen, you don't have to sue me if you want my car. Listen, it's not a problem. Jesus is my provider. If you want my car, you don't have to sue me. There's no point giving your lawyers any money. Here, I'll just give you my car. And, hey, listen, do you have an hour? I could run down and wash it. I could wax it and maybe get it vacuumed and fill it up with gas for you. And if you'll sign the title, I'll run down and have it notarized. You know, I mean, I'll hand you the title. And he's going, why would you do that? Well, Jesus had mercy on me because I was born a sinner and there was no way I could ever repay him. And I was his enemy. But he had mercy on me, sir, and forgave me all my debt. And the least I can do is forgive you for the way you're acting. And just give you my car. Listen, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. I love you. You can have my car. My father's got lots of cars. That's not a problem with me. Just know I love you and Jesus loves you. And, sir, I pray you get saved. Or however you pray. Now, you do understand at that moment that guy's probably going to think you're a complete idiot. And he'll probably go tell all his buddies down at the country club about the complete religious kook that lives next door to him, saying, I'll tell you, he'd probably be down there bragging about it. I got the guy's car, he waxed it for me, he filled it up with gas, and just gave it to me. And he may, on the surface level, be like that, but let me tell you something. Your actions are going to dog that man the rest of his life.
Amen.
He's going to be thinking, what kind of human being was that? I mean, I never saw a man. That's not normal. That's not the way people react. I wonder, could that Jesus he was talking about be real? He sure walked in a lot of peace. Didn't seem to bother him that I was going to sue him for his car. He just gave me his car. See, his mind, he's never going to be able to get away from that. And if he ever gets in trouble, now see, if you would have been like, if you'd reacted like the world and sued him and got into a big court fight and all that kind of stuff, do you think you're ever going to have a witness? Do you think you'd ever have opportunity to give testimony of Jesus into that man's life? You're just like him. Why would he listen to you? Your God's apparently the same God his is, which is money, cars, yourself. But if you react like Jesus, now that guy, something happens where all of a sudden he needs God, he's going, Maybe I've been wrong my whole life. Is there anybody I could go to that could tell me about God? That guy that gave me his car, he was for real. People don't do that unless they're for real. I'm going to go and ask him about Jesus. See, you kept your testimony was more valuable than your things. That man's soul was more important to you than your car. And the promise of Jesus here is, you have that kind of heart, your testimony is the number one thing in your life. I got a promise for you. You give like that, God will make sure it's given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Will men give into your bosom? It'll never cost you anything to keep your testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
Woo-wee! Is that good stuff? Is that good stuff? Now let me make sure I want to give you all the rules. This is just one. Number one, I wanted you to understand what Luke 6:38 means. Do you like that?
Yes.
All right. Now, I told you though, you'd be begging me. You want me to pray for who? Can't I just put the offering in the bucket and make this work? No, you can't. No, you can't. All right, now. Okay, number one, never lift a verse out of its setting. Don't ever forget that. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to show you where the subject begins and where the subject ends. Okay, now you help me. What was number three? How did I phrase it? Read the whole segment 30 to 50 times. Now, while you're doing that, it doesn't mean try. I'm not saying try and understand the revelation in it. I'm just saying read it. If there's a word there that you don't know what it means, I mean, you absolutely don't even know what that word is, like cloak or something, get you a little Hebrew Greek dictionary and find out what the word means. You know, sometimes the King James gets a little weird. You know, we circumscribed a compass about such and such an island. What does that mean? They went in a circle around it. You know, so, you know, it's okay to do that, but what I'm saying is don't stop and try and figure out the revelation. That's not your job. You have a teacher for that. Your job is to read it.
Amen.
The whole picture. Oh, I was going to give you this example. Now, here's what most people do. They'll come to that verse, and this is how they get in trouble. And they don't back up and find out what the subject is. They don't go ahead, you know, go past it and find out where the subject ends. So they just stay on that verse and stay on that verse. So here's what that's like. That would be like, let's say for some reason I went and visited an island off the coast of Bora Bora, wherever Bora Bora is. And on this island, I meet these natives. And on this particular island, there is no cows. And they've never seen a cow. And when I say cow, they don't even know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, you guys are in luck. I happen to have with me the eyelash of a cow. And from this, surely, here, take this, sir. And it is honestly the eyelash of a cow. And surely from that you can deduce what a cow looks like. You can't get the picture from an eyelash. You can't get the image from one verse.
That's right.
You're looking at one stroke of the brush. And you're trying to figure out the whole thing. No, you have to look at the whole thing to understand every stroke of the brush. You see the difference?
Yeah.
That's why I want you to feed the whole image in there. Give the Holy Spirit the whole picture to work with. Then He'll start showing you what all these individual brush strokes are that makes up the whole picture. But you have to have the whole image. Otherwise, you wind up... And okay, here's one more example. The word is called the seed, is it not?
Yes.
Did you hear about that real smart farmer? He had enough seed to plant 100 acres. And then all of a sudden, he acquired another 100 acres. But he only had enough seed for 100 acres. So he had a real smart idea. Well, I'll just cut these seeds in half. Did y'all know that won't work?
Yeah.
You cut that seed in half, ain't nothing growing. You destroyed the image in the seed. And if you do that with these passages when Jesus is teaching on a whole subject, and you come in there and cut it in half, or even most of us narrow it down to an eyelash or just one little verse, I want to understand the Taj Mahal by looking at one limb on a tree. Give me a break. Won't work.
But that's another reason we have all these flavors of churches on every denomination, on every corner. They got little isolated verses all over the place. Do you understand that probably better than 90% of the church thinks Luke 6:38 is talking about a church offering? You guys don't know how blessed you are tonight.
Amen.
I mean, you just got set free from major religion.
Amen.
I love LaRue. Next week I'm going to Houston to preach at LaRue's church, my friend. He's younger than I am quite a bit. Got such a heart for God. I mean, boy, he's quick to repent. He's like King David of old, you know. And when he sees something that's wrong, boy, he'll change it. Well, I went down there teaching one night on this, and I happened to teach this particular message. Now, he'd never known it. I mean, that's just one of them that he didn't know. He thought that Luke 6:38 meant, you know, he really thought that's what it meant. Put it in the church offering, God will bless him. So I taught this, and I saw his eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, my God. You know? So that night, he's going to take up the offering after I taught. Come to find out, they had a song that they played at every service. Would you like to know the title of it? Luke 6:38. Given, it shall be given back unto you. I can't do it. So he's up there getting ready to take, and he's just bumfuddled. He'd never even heard this before. And he's up there. We're fixing to take up the offering and go ahead and play that. No, don't play that. I about fell out of my chair. His heart was so right before God. You know, he says, "Oh no, we're not going to play that anymore." Boy, that church. So he started finding out the truth on this stuff. His church is, I'll tell you what, they're one of, that church there is one of our primary supporters. God has blessed them and prospered them, because every time he finds something, boy, that's not right, I mean, he'll change it.
Amen.
He'll change it. See, if you guys want to really start. Now, here's what it comes down to, and I know I'm going kind of long. You're never going to show you. Here's my interpretation of this. You are never going to show yourself more righteous than God.
Oh, that's right.
Well, if I give them my car, you know, I'll just be out. I mean, I know I did the right thing. I did the righteous thing. But I sure will miss my car. You're never going to show yourself more righteous than God.
That's right.
You stand up for Him. You really give in to Him, which that would be giving your car to that sinner. Trying to save him, trying to have mercy on him, like the Father has been merciful to you. You can't run from your blessing. God will track you down. That's when you'll get one of them overtaken blessings. You'll be running away from it. You'll still be running. You're not going to show yourself more righteous than him now. That is not going to happen. And our God is a blesser. Did you see that, where he is kind to the unthankful? And do the evil, for crying out loud? How much more is he going to be merciful and bountiful to his own children? Especially who think with eternity in mind. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And pray in other tongues.
Pray in other tongues. That's what number four is. Let the Holy Spirit explain it to you. That's number four.